The Lapine City Council regular meeting of Wednesday, April 14th, 2010, is called to order at 6:02 PM. We now have roll call, starting with City Recorder Danabout.
City Recorder Luana Danabout.
City Attorney Jeremy Green.
Counselor Don Brennan.
Mayor Kenny Shields.
Counselor Barbara Hedges.
Counselor Dale Malinan.
Counselor Douglas Ward.
District Assistant Patty Moore.
Thank you. All staff and council are present. We have a forum.
There's a couple up here in front.
Take a moment to get some more chairs over here. All right. Patty, would you like to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, next item is number five, consent agenda. I do that every time.
Sorry?
Thank you, it's a good thing we have you. Number four, added agenda items, and we do have one which our added agenda item number on this agenda is 14, so it will be 14A, approval of terms for the TRT committee members. I've got a handout for that. Now this time I will make a little check mark by it and come after me. Okay, next item is number five, consent agenda. Do you have any discussion or concerns? Questions?
I have one on the, this is to the attorney.
Are you talking about bills or?
Is that down there?
I'm talking about a 5B item.
It's just at the end there, I guess it would be considered that, a request for reimbursement.
Okay. Okay, where do you go?
It's on the back of this.
Describe it again.
That one.
This one?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. And your question?
Why does the check have to be hand-delivered? Why isn't it mailed?
Because it needed to be in there that day because there was a deadline. We had to wait for the check from Rob Rory and it hadn't arrived yet. So the deadline was approaching and it needed to be in there, so I had to go.
This was to complete for tax exemption filing for the Old Deschutes Lodge.
What does that say at the end? And filing fee to?
Fill with application.
Okay. Alright.
So, it was that Luana made a trip to the attorney's office to get to, give them a $200 check, right?
To go with the application.
Right, because it had to be from Rob Roy, right?
We had to wait for Rob's check to come to the city before I could write the check for the county.
Okay.
And I had to get the check to the to Jeremy so he could file it with the county.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a little backwards here. That's why I was wondering.
Okay. Everybody clear on that now? All right. Any other questions or concerns?
I do.
Councilor Ward.
On the check detail, page 3, check number 1766, $200 to Deschutes County. What?
That was it. That was the check.
Yeah.
Deschutes County. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Everyone's okay with all the minutes?
Oh, wait a minute. Okay, on the the balance sheet. The profit and loss general, the second page. Okay, this is grants, the DLCD CP fund. So it says 182% of the budget. So I'm not understanding what that line item is. So the budget was 50 over the
about halfway down on page 2, Luana.
Under grant.
DLCD.
Why am I not seeing it? It's page 2. Oh, this page. Okay. Yeah.
So what's the, I don't understand what that is. So why is it 182% of the budget?
Because in last fiscal year, that income, in last fiscal year we wrote the $40,000 check to the MC and was guaranteed that the grant would come in before the end of the fiscal year, and then it didn't. So we paid $40,000 last year and $50,000 this year, in this year's fiscal year, out of that $90,000. And then there's another $1,000 technical assistant grant in there.
Okay, I'm sorry. So, okay, say it again.
Last fiscal year. We paid $40,000 to DMC for their services on the comprehensive plan.
Through a grant?
Through the grant. We hadn't received the grant, but the grant was guaranteed to be to us by the end of the fiscal year.
Okay.
It didn't. Therefore, we paid part of it last year and part of it this year.
Okay.
So that's why it looks like we've got, it's not an expenditure, it's an
income. Right, I know that. I said that. And then just a reminder about that $10,000 of the business license that you were supposed to take out.
We will for next year. We don't take it out of this year's budget. It just doesn't show anything.
So you would make a budget adjustment for that?
Why would we?
Well, it still shows in the current, it's there in our, this current fiscal year budget as a line item.
I know.
And so we carry it through in all of our paperwork to the end of the fiscal year. So you'll keep seeing it.
But that doesn't answer, I see. So that would be appropriate to budget adjustment? That just isn't...
It's budgeted. We can't change our budget.
Okay, it's budgeted, but we didn't ever receive that or do anything with it. It doesn't need a budget adjustment.
If we're not receiving those money, okay.
Right.
Well, maybe I'll check that out and see. I'm not really sure if that's correct.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Can I answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay, I have one question on March 24th meeting minutes, page 8. Number 7, the proclamation for April as Child Abuse Prevention Month. Didn't we adopt that proclamation? Because it's not reflected in the minutes.
Okay.
You want to hold those minutes then until that's in there?
Well, we can make a note. Does everyone, we did adopt that, correct? So it needs to be in the minutes. So that's a minutes correction. We can, we do that. Hopefully there's a correction that needs to be made or prior until the next.
I don't know if I would be until it was a motion.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we have to. It was a motion.
Yeah.
We adopted it. It just wasn't written into the minutes.
We might have got it cut and pasted, or it might have got deleted by accident.
I understand that. It's just that it's not there, so it needs to be there.
Right.
So, can we approve these minutes pending that correction, that addition?
Yeah.
Everyone okay with that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So, there were no other, that's the only change then in our consent agenda, correct? So I will entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda with the necessary addition to the March 24th regular session meeting minutes as noted.
I so move.
I second it.
Moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Councilor Ward, yes.
Councilor McAfee, yes.
Councilor Hedges, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes.
Councilor Brenner, yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Okay. Next item, number six, Pacific Crest Affordable Housing Phase 1 and 2 update and tax abatement. Rob Roy? The floor is yours.
Thank you. Sorry, we're a couple minutes late getting here. Well, I just wanted to give you a quick update. We started little issues like one. I'll say that because we're planning a second phase. We actually started construction on May the 1st, about a year ago. We finished and got our certificate of occupancy on January 31st. We're a little over a month late because of some bad trusses. But I think to have done that in 9 months is still, you know, a very good job. So we were quite, you know, we were quite happy with the end product. In terms of the budget, we brought it in a little bit under budget. We still have a bit of money to spend. There are lots of places to do that. But the end of these projects, we always sort of take our time just to make sure that nothing sort of comes to bite us. And so we have a couple of things that we plan to do, including maybe do some co-op stuff with the senior center in terms of adding some parkway or some walkways and things like that. I think the most encouraging thing about it is that the building filled up in 10 days. You know, we originally, as a lot of you are aware, were quite concerned about the need here in the Pine. I know that everybody in the Pine felt quite confident that we'd fill it up, but it was very hard for us to document that. It was hard to get the data to sort of say to the bankers and the lawyers, you know, that we can do this. But in the end, it was incredible. I think we have, I'm going to say 250 people on the waiting list. 300 on the waiting list. We sent out the applications. The applications come back in. We have to timestamp them as they arrive. To fill the building, we only went to the 31st application. And I think of the 31st, I think two or three for some reason didn't qualify or decided not to move in. But that's sort of unheard of in our industry, and it's really indicative of the need and the readiness here in the Pine for people for that type of housing. And so it was based on that sort of need and quickness with which people moved in and the ease with which people moved in that we pretty quickly thought to ourselves we should do a phase two. And that was strictly driven by demand. We just thought, look, the demand's there, and that's always the key to making these projects work. So we started about that time just making plans for phase two. We will make an application on the end of this month, at the end of this month, for housing and community services. It'll be a project very similar to phase one, 26 units, two floors, elevator serviced with an interior corridor. It'll basically be a similar building to what we have, just the common areas will change slightly. And we took the 4.5 acres that were donated by the state, excuse me, by the county, split those basically in half, or split that 4.5 acres in half. Now we have 2 separate tax lots, and so we can build the second phase on a separate tax lot, which makes it much easier for us to get funding. And what we're looking for now from the city of Pine, but also the citizens of Pine, is just a definitive indication of interest in the project and of interest to move in. And the reason for that is, once again, it's very difficult when we do a market survey, a professional market survey here, the numbers always come up somewhat lagging or lacking. And I think it's because there are probably a lot of people that live in remote areas. They probably weren't part of the census in the year 2000. Even if they received census material, they might not have had the opportunity to mail it. And so as a result of that, the information that we get from the census is generally, especially for this area, is maybe not indicative of what the market really is. So what we've been doing is circulating a questionnaire around town. I've been appearing on the radio talk shows in the morning. And we've been running ads to try and encourage people to just come and have a look at Little Deschutes Lodge number one. Come to our open houses, see what it looks like, see if it might be appropriate for parents, for relatives, for yourself. And while you're there, if you could complete a questionnaire, that would be great. And, you know, we've had some success there. Currently, our wait list is 37 filled applications for the one bedrooms, 7 for the two bedrooms, so we're roughly 45. We probably have around 20 of those questionnaires filled out, and it'd be nice if we could get another 80, but we need them by the 26th of April. And so if you are talking with anybody and they think that maybe this is the type of building that they would like to, at some point in the not too distant future, move into, be a prospective tenant, it'd be really helpful if you could encourage them to fill out those questionnaires and turn them back into us. Again, it's not a commitment, it's just an indication. They can sign their name and we're not going to bug them. Nobody will be calling them up saying, well, you did this, you have to move in. it's just an indication that it's really helpful for the state when Oregon Housing and Community Services reviews our application. It's a very key ingredient for them. It's sort of like, these people are now quasi-qualified. And what that means is they've given us an indication of their income levels, they've given us an indication of their age, and they've given us an indication that they would like to move in. And that's much stronger than a waiting list. So there are a couple, well, maybe I should ask now, are there any questions regarding phase one, phase two, our plans, mistakes we might have made? Okay.
I only have one complaint, and that's on your open houses.
Yes.
You never, and this is very selfish, but you never seem to schedule them at a time when I can be there. I'd like to request a time sometime between 11 p.m. and 6 a.m. I'm not occupied.
Oh, wait a second.
You know, I'm sure Vivian would give you a tour. So there's just a couple of other things. So I have some brochures or some flyers about the open house this week. It's between 10 and 2 on Saturday. No appointment required. We don't try and sell you anything. We have coffee and cookies that Vivian actually bakes. You can come in, a tour maybe takes 5 minutes or less if you want, you know, but I think you'll be quite surprised. If you haven't visited the building, I think you'll be quite surprised when you walk in there and see the quality of workmanship.
So Rob, now these questionnaires, do they like interact with your funding or your applications, and how critical is it to, how many do you need?
Well, ideally, the rule of thumb in the industry is that you should have 4 times the number of people you want to move in. Okay. So for instance, if we need 25, I'll just use 25 mm-hmm. to move in, then we should have 100.
Okay.
And, you know, currently, as I say, we probably have 20. The applications are worth something because we have 45 applications. But there's no question the questionnaires are more definitive in terms of saying, okay, this person is income qualified. They're the right age. They've indicated an interest. So it'd be very helpful to have, you know, to receive another 80. But I just can't imagine that happening by, you know, 12 days from now. But if even we could get half of that, it'd be very helpful. You asked another question, I can't remember.
Do you let people know immediately if they don't qualify?
Yes, actually, in the questionnaire, I only have a sample of one here, but I can leave it behind. The questionnaire just says something to the effect like, let me just read it. So we have the various income levels, and so the person needs to say, I am confident that my annual income falls below X level. You know, there's three choices. So it's be below 40%, 50%, or 60% of very medium income, and we actually have the dollar amount there.
Okay.
So it's just an indication, but for the state, it's like, we can get on the waiting list, and there's no indication of age and income. It could come from a church group, you know? It's not strong enough for them. So I'm just asking the community at large, just if there are people out there, we want real names, we want real people, there's no point in getting a list which isn't a bona fide list, because if we build the building and people don't come, it's a big problem for us personally, but also for the city. You know, funding in the future from that agency would be very difficult.
So Rob, yes. I just want to clarify, we don't send the completed applications onto the state, so they don't get, we're not distributing the information in the survey anywhere else.
We just sort of consolidate and say this is what the survey said, no names attached, this is what the survey said, this is how many we got, you know, this is how many we received.
So is the project that in danger, or?
Which one?
The one that you need the application to fill? Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's not unusual. You know, it's just we're moving very quickly. I think normally what would happen is for developers such as ourselves, we would probably wait a few years. But you know, the reality is, yes, this is a terrible time for any, but it's the best of times for us. And the reason for that is that for whatever reason, we have a very good track record, and we have the key ingredients to make the project work. We have a permanent lender, we have a construction lender, and we have an equity partner. And that is rare in this environment. And so we can go to the state and say, here, you know, and we can do it now, where there are a lot of groups that can't do that. But the one thing we need to demonstrate, which is key, is the need there. And certainly for a small town, we're only looking at 1,500 people, or 1,608, I think is the number. Now, you know, they say, well, how can you possibly need another 26 units? You just built 26. How can you possibly do that? And then we can get letters from all sorts of people who are very well-known in the industry saying, like Dave Bachman from Cascade Management, you know, they manage 5,700 units of affordable housing statewide. Mm-hmm. He says that happens once in a lifetime, what happened in the Pine.
Wow.
The need, the depth of the need is huge. But it's not enough, you know. We need to be able to say, here, you know, 100 people, income qualified, interested in moving in. Is it in danger? Sure, it's always in danger until we have the money.
Yeah.
Once we have the money, we're okay. So, yes.
Anybody else? I didn't have an idea. Do they have to live in Deschutes County?
No.
Okay.
Anywhere in the United States.
Okay.
But having said that, I mean, for us, for Deschutes County, for you guys, it's much better to serve your citizens. But from a Fair Housing Act standpoint, we can't decline anybody if they want to move here from Florida. Mm-hmm. But so what we do is we limit our marketing. And we will only market in a very small market area, as we did here. And I think 99% of the residents, the new residents, are from the Pine or surrounding areas, probably within 15 or 20 miles. And that's, you know, that is great. That's the way we want it to be. But certainly if the building didn't fill up, would we have reached further? Yes. We would immediately said, okay, let's market in Banff, let's market in Redmond, let's go further south, let's move people in, because we cannot let the building sit idle once it's built. Cannot. So, very dangerous. Okay. So just a couple of other things then, and I'll pass these out later. I guess there are really two things that we're looking for. The one is that we talked, I spoke with Luana, I guess, a couple of weeks ago now, and I think, Lima, you distributed a letter to Luana.
I think I did.
Did you get a letter? Yes. I don't know if the city councilors have actually seen it.
The proposed
letter.
Letter of support, yeah. We have it. Uh-huh.
And we're not saying it has to read exactly the same, but if we could get a letter similar to that, addressing sort of those issues, if that is what you believe, obviously, you know, that would be very helpful for the application, because, again, what the state looks for is there community support? It's one thing to get a letter from a senator. But I'll tell you, coming from the city council means 10 times what it means coming from the Senate. You know, this is the key ingredient, as is the Lapine Senior Center Board. you know, it's the local jurisdictions that are so important. So to get a letter like that would be very helpful. And then secondly, I have another letter here which is not been circulated, but this is a letter that we got from the city of Bend back in the year 2007 when we were dealing with the project there. And basically what happened was the city council, I guess, approved this letter. Is that the right way to put it?
No, that came from Jim Wells.
From the affordable housing manager? So I guess it would have to come from somebody, ideally I think from the city council, but basically it says that if we meet the requirements of the program that you have for the tax abatement, which was put in place for phase one, if we meet those requirements for phase two, then we would qualify for that tax abatement. So it's not that you're promising anything that hasn't already been established. If we meet the requirements that are set out in your program, then we would qualify for a tax abatement. That's just sort of a clarification that meeting the requirements is enough for you to say, okay, we're fine to go with the second one. Obviously, we'd have to get support from the school district, from the Parks and Rec district, and then finally from the city. But again, that tax abatement is so important to the funding process because it's probably worth, I don't remember what the net present value is here, but I want to say it's probably worth about $30,000 in total over the 20-year life history of it. In that range, and that's key because then that shows up as community support again. And one of the things that is different about this application as opposed to application number one is with the first application we had the county paying roughly $200,000 or $225,000 in infrastructure costs, local government supporting the project, putting all of that in. They donated the land, which at the time was 4.5 acres, so that was worth roughly $350,000. And so all of that goes into the application, like, look, this is community support. Now the only thing that we really have is we will now donate the land from the first parcel to the second parcel. I mean, we're going to basically donate it from us to somebody else to make the project work at no cost. But at least that will show local support again and the tax abatement. Those are the key things, the two key things that we can use to say we have the local support and we have the letters. So shall I leave this with Luana, or maybe, who do you think it should go to?
Or Jeremy.
Now what is that, this piece?
It's a property tax exemption. This, it would read something like subject property tax exemption.
Okay, so this is, you would be asking for an additional property tax exemption for the next phase?
All it really says, well maybe you can say it better than I can, so just, what does the letter say exactly?
Well, to answer, yes, we would be applying again for tax exemption for phase two.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't actually apply for the tax exemption until the year before the tax year that we'd be getting the first year of exemption. So this is just a letter from the city saying that based on your knowledge of the project, we will most likely qualify for tax exemption again under the tax exemption program. So you can take a look at the letter and see if that's something. Do you want to maybe just pass it down?
Okay. Was it something that Luana can make a copy of and get to out later on to all of the counselors?
Sure. Yeah.
Let's do it that way.
And if this is something that could work, I think your next meeting is the 28th,
mm-hmm.
correct?
Mm-hmm.
Which we would do would still be fine. We actually have to make the submission on the 30th. So it would still work for us. If not, we understand. But it would be helpful.
Well, that gives us time to digest all the information and consider it.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I just leave these nearby for anybody that wants them, including city councilors.
Sure.
This is, I forgot to mention, so we will have a community grand opening May 21st, 9 to 11 in the morning. and when I say that, we've never done this before, but we're just saying, anybody in the community, please come. You're welcome. We'll have a light breakfast that will be prepared by the senior center, do some tours, and probably have roughly an hour of just celebrations, including, we'd like to have some keynote speaker. We're going to see who we can get, but, yeah.
So, okay.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, council, homework. Luana, I'll have more for you, stuff to review and consider. Okay. I've got too many piles of things going here. Okay,
Next item is number 7, Lapine Rodeo Association donation request. Laura has a staff report. Has everyone read the staff report?
Yes.
Does anyone have any comments, suggestions?
It's my understanding that we are able to donate more than $250. I would like to see us give at least $500. The reason I approved at the last meeting to give $1,250 for the sign in the little park is because I understood that there would be plenty left over to donate to the rodeo.
Okay.
So I would like at least $500 to go to them. It's the 100th anniversary, and I think that the city needs to have its name out there, too, on a banner.
Oh, that's... Yeah. I can't remember what... They always pull back from the banner.
That's Councilor Greiner.
Yeah, the 2x6 arena banner of the rodeo.
Councilor Greiner wants to... give $50.
Actually, that would be kind of neat to have a banner at the rodeo.
It would be.
And a lot of people turn out for the rodeo. Your staff report suggested $250 for the silver package. What would it? Could the budget handle $500?
Yeah. It was just a suggestion.
Uh-huh. Well, I understand. That's what we want from you.
They do receive TRQ funds, right? So
the rodeo?
Right.
Whatever they have.
Yeah.
Oh, no, we're talking about ourselves. Whenever they apply for something that qualifies, they can receive TRQ funds.
Dan Markle is the one that takes care of that.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Right.
Did you say Dan was going to pay it?
That's
the problem.
He
brought his
checkbook.
I'll match you,
Donna. Councilor Ward, any
comments? My initial idea was $250 is a very fair and equitable donation. I would not object to kicking that up to $500, although I think we need to all keep in mind we don't want to go crazy on this donation stuff. We've gone a little overboard this month, but I would not argue against 500 if the rest of the council is in agreement, although I think 250 is a better number.
Councilor McAfee.
I think 500 is a good idea.
Okay.
Keeping in mind, there'll probably be Frontier Days coming down the pike, right?
Okay. And then we can donate those tickets to...
that's right. We have discussed that before.
Right.
Yeah.
You guys can donate those tickets for everyone, or we can, whichever one is more convenient for you.
Right. Yeah, I think we have discussed that before when this was first brought to us. Councilor Greiner.
I feel that this is a very strong community project and we should go to 500.
All right. Well, it looks like it's going to be 500. I echo Councilor Ward's sentiments, which were sentiments that I put forth at our last meeting when we approved the $1,250 for the sign project, that we do need to be careful about, looking like we're just a donation center here. Much as we would like to be able to help everybody, we just, we do need to always keep in mind and make sure that the community understands when they come to us too and ask for donations that if we had the wherewithal, we would just love to hand out money right and left everywhere, but we do have to be careful of our budget too. That said, I do think this is, I would like to see us do that, partly go the $500, and partly also in support of the fact that this is our 100 year anniversary. It's nice to celebrate a little. So back to the question of the tickets then.
What is the VIP ticket?
VIP ticket puts you in, VIP can put you in the bushes over there of one end of the arena towards, you know, like, you get extra food, you get extra drinks, it doesn't cost you anything. But if you get one VIP ticket, it's good for two people.
Okay. Normally I ask for council input first, but I'm going to go ahead and start here. For my part, it just sounds like it would be simpler and easier to allow the Rodeo Association to determine where to donate the tickets.
Right. I agree.
Agree.
Yeah, I would probably suggest that the rodeo gives away the tickets in our name naturally, but that none of us on the council have anything to do with any tickets or
I was going to ask that.
Anything.
Okay. It'll be different under the city council's yes. Name. Yes.
All right. Does anyone need any further discussion, or are we ready for a motion? Okay. I will call for a motion to approve a donation of $500 to the Lapine Rodeo Association for the gold package. And with the permission, I don't know if that's the word I want, with the understanding that the Rodeo Association itself will donate the four complimentary rodeo tickets on behalf of the City of Lapine as they see fit.
I so move.
I'll second.
Been moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Councilor Ward, yes.
Councilor McPhee, yes.
Councilor Hedges, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes.
Councilor Brenner, yes.
Motion passes unanimously. We made people happy again. No. Okay. Next item, number 8. The question of social gaming in city limits. Has everyone read the staff report on that? And I believe this is something that you had originally brought to us, wasn't it, Councilor Brenner?
Yes, after reading the staff report and what's been passed before, I think that now is not the right time to proceed with something like this. And we should just table it for an unforeseen length of time. I just don't think it's appropriate right now.
All right.
I agree with Mr. Grinder. This is something that the state's already been regulating. We're not in a position to do anything with it, so we should leave it alone.
Councilor McAfee, any comment?
No, I agree with that.
I agree with that also.
And so do I. All right. So this is something that will not come before the council again until some person brings it back to us.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay, number 9, the question of dust and mosquito abatement for fiscal year 2010-2011. Does everyone have time to read the staff report on that?
Yes.
I have some updated quotes like that. Information.
Okay, sure. Wanda says she has an update for us.
Go ahead. I received a quote from Terminex. They, I believe, are going to be doing the barrier treatment for the rodeo grounds and the park.
I don't know about the rodeo grounds.
Or the park, anyway.
Yeah, Roslyn. They will be working okay. At Roslyn.
Okay. And we can have 31 miles of service every month for $80 a mile.
Can we tell them how wide we want it? 3 miles?
It's fog.
So,
And I'm sorry, what was the charge again?
$80 a mile. So, the total amount for June, July, August, once a week, you will be fogging on approximately 8 miles of city roads at $80 per mile, covering a total of approximately 31 miles every month, weather permitting, total $7,296. And this is something that will probably come out of our budget this year. We might be able to pay half this budget year, maybe half the next, but if you want it done next year, we need to think about budgeting that also, because we talked about this last year, but we didn't, it was after we had done our budget. So, it's a pretty expensive thing to not have figured in. So that's what I got from them.
And, windows, or did you look into this when the mosquito fogging season typically starts?
They were going to do this, they would be doing this through the months of June, July, and August, once a week, on like 8 miles of road a week.
Okay, and do they sometimes not do that? Because sometimes, do they pay attention to the weather conditions?
Yes.
Because sometimes...
If it's windy, they're not going to do it because it won't do any good.
Well, that, and sometimes because of weather conditions, the mosquitoes just aren't out.
Yeah.
And they...
So, it's just a... $7,300 was a pretty good hit. There was, when we did the survey last year, there was a lot of support for it.
We came out with more for than against.
And they also said that this might be a worse mosquito year than last year.
Okay.
But that could be a...
Per month, is that correct?
No, that's for the whole...
The whole season?
3 months, yeah. It's a treatment plan,
okay.
So...
So, am I missing? So I didn't see that estimate here, so...
Didn't have it at the time.
No, the first paragraph says she'll have the quote at the meeting, which she just gave to us.
Okay, so...
I had two questions.
Yes.
So I wasn't finished.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So, now how much was the end figure?
$7,296. That's if we pay it in advance. We get a 5% discount if we pay it in advance.
And then it's just the mosquito season?
June, July, and August.
Okay.
If we pay it in advance and for some unforeseen circumstance they don't do it for a week or so because of weather conditions, do we get any refund on that?
No.
So probably
not.
Mercy of the weather.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would think so. It's all approximate. They have to look at the weather in order to fog at the proper times to be effective. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, you know, if it's raining, you can't fog in the rain, probably. Not that we don't get that much rain. So.
Well, been used to it.
What
work? I'm sorry, you said you had something.
If you're not finished, go ahead.
So it's not the time that they estimated. It's the application time. How many times you're going to apply it, right? Like it would include 20 applications, or isn't that how it works?
Over the course of the season.
Yeah.
My mind stopped working.
Okay.
I know what you're getting at, but yeah.
A couple of questions. Number one, if we agree to this, will they give us a schedule so we know when this is going to happen? And I'm assuming that we're going to have to somehow inform all the residents that we're going to do this.
okay? Because everybody here knows that I'm absolutely totally dead set against this thing. But I did my own 50 people survey. 49 out of the 50 said yes. So now I say yes, even though I don't believe it. But that, the people want it, so I think we should do it. We have the money to pay for it. We should pay for it in advance and then re-budget for next year. I'm just concerned that everybody knows when the guy's going to come down the road with this big old foggy stuff, because I'd hate to see my 80-year-old next-door neighbor be standing there covered in fog and fall over.
Well,
because she didn't know the guy was coming.
I think they'll probably do some in the early morning and late in the evenings when the mosquitoes are the thickest.
Well, that's why we need a schedule.
But you can't schedule with the weather, when the weather's unknown.
Well, they can do a tentative schedule based upon weather conditions. There's nothing wrong with that.
Okay, yeah.
If they say every Tuesday at 6 o'clock in the morning and it doesn't rain or something, then we can reasonably expect they'll be there at 6 o'clock in the morning or whatever time it is. Okay. I don't want 3-day stuff.
Well, can I make my comment? I'm sorry. I'm just a moment.
Council's still discussing. I had a question, I forgot what it was. Oh, were you finished?
Yes, ma'am. I'm done. Thank you.
Okay. And just for the record, I'm not in favor of it either. Never really have been, because me and mosquito season isn't that big of a deal. I just smack the creatures and then wonder how many frogs and bats I'm depriving of a snack. But I'm with Doug, because most of the citizens seem to want it. It seems like something we should do. My question is to pay in advance, and you may have already addressed this, and it went by me. We would have to take this out of our current fiscal year budget, and can we do that?
I think we can.
So we may be able to delay, we could delay a large portion of payment in the next budget year, but if we're going to do it, it'd be nice to get the discount.
The actual amount is $76.80, and there's a $384 discount for paying in advance. So.
Okay.
I have a question.
Yes.
So Jeremy, can we pay in advance first, or do we have to have service paid when services are rendered?
Are you talking about the fiscal year or just the
No, just can we as a city pay for something in advance when no services have been
rendered? But they will be rendered, so sure, that's okay.
It's in anticipation of?
Sure, we have a binding signed contract.
Okay.
It's appropriate.
Okay. Any other council discussion? Questions?
No, thank you.
And I see, Dan, I skipped right over you on the Pine Rodeo Association one, but I'm sure you're probably pretty happy anyway, huh?
Yeah, I'll just use up the time on the mosquito thing.
I'm looking at my chart, but I'm glad I didn't skip anyone on number 8 because no one signed up. So, Dan.
I didn't know they were doing mosquito abatement at the radiograms, but those cowboys will appreciate that. So is it my turn?
Yes, that's what I addressed you. So you can back up and talk about the
road. I've lived with abatement and without it, and after you've lived with mosquito abatement, it's really hard to live without it. And I just did the math real quick. It's about $6 per person in the city, and I use way more than that mosquito spray, way, way more, like 10 times that much when I live with the mosquitoes. I think it's a good value. It seems like a lot of money in bulk, but I think it's a good value. And it's not just the residents. We have a duty to our visitors and our tourists to have a pleasant atmosphere, a place where they don't have to be swatting mosquitoes. And I've heard comments of at Frontier Days when they do their run, the people that are doing their run have to be constantly batting mosquitoes off and covering their mouths so that as they run along they can actually get through there. So it's pretty bad. I don't know, now the 30 miles of road, is that how thorough in the city is that really? I mean, does that actually do the job is a question that I had.
Well, when he came out last year, he figured that that's what it would take because I went with him and we drove all around town. Even on the major roads, Huntington, you know.
So still doesn't get to my house, but that's okay. I'm glad for the rest of the people. So that's good.
And he is aware of the park, Roslyn Park, and he knows the rodeo grounds. Is the rodeo going to be there this year again?
Mm-hmm.
But that 6th Street will probably be included in that. But, you know, as far as going on a private property, that won't happen.
No, but...
And that area is very swampish, and that's a high area for the mosquitoes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that's going to take the property owner to take care of that. There's nothing we can do.
It was pretty effective on the interview where my house is there as a... sprayed, and it was, if somebody is walking, they just cut the spray off, so it really isn't that intrusive to somebody that's out there.
Yeah.
So it's not like you're gagging or something, you know, like through a neighbor or something, but it was real swampy down along the river too, and I maybe saw 2 mosquitoes the whole year on Riverview, so I think that it would have been pretty effective if they used the same kind of stuff. I know we didn't use Terminex, it was another provider, but, you know, it should be good. So anyway, thank you. I'm really glad you're doing it. I think it's going to be a value to the whole community.
Well, thanks, Dan.
Yep.
Okay, and you had signed up, but I'm going to say that's okay. If I can skip people who are signed up, I'm okay.
Having lived in an area, I didn't know of any schedule that was ever published. And you would just run for your windows to close them. Not at home. I can't say that I would complain because it was nice to not happen. It feels to be all right. But that was kind of the situation.
Definitely better to know what to expect.
It would be nice if they
that.
Could.
Yeah.
Put out a schedule.
Gloria?
It would be nice if they would just run something in the Blue Eagle or the Frontiers, so say we're going to be doing this, so people would be aware that it's going to be happening, even if you don't have a set schedule.
And then
pay
that for free.
Yeah.
That for free as a public service announcement. Vicki?
I live on Little Deschutes over in Three Rivers, and we have vector control. We pay for it out of our taxes. And I'll have to say, the 4 years I've lived there, they spray different times, and you still get tons of mosquitoes. So it's hard to say, and you have to keep your animals in.
Thanks for that.
So it's going to be equitable throughout the city. That was right. Just want to make sure that all the areas are covered.
Yeah.
Okay.
For the whole city limits.
Right. And then I've been personally fogged. I was walking. Nothing happened to me.
Councilor Ward.
It is extremely important that the citizens of the city know that we're going to do this and know approximately when we're going to do this. There are people who live here that have respiratory problems, mm-hmm. and to wake up in the morning with their house full of mosquito smoke because they had their window open at night is not acceptable. So if we're going to do this, we have to figure out some way of letting the people here know it's going to be done and when it's going to be done. Approximately. We don't have to have but if everybody knows they're going to be spraying on Tuesday, then everybody will be prepared for it. And they won't wake up in the morning with this big surprise.
No, I agree with that.
Yeah.
However, apparently the agreement that they sent over to us, the terms and conditions are not readable, so I definitely, if you're going to approve it, I'd like you to approve it subject to legal revision. Mm-hmm. There's no way I can discern what the terms and conditions
are. This is how it's scanned.
Oh, we don't have a copy of that?
So, no, this is what I got yesterday. So they'll have to receive it to me.
I mean, at a minimum, we want to make sure that they've got insurance and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which presumably they do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, it sounds like council, yes. Oh, we have all kinds of comments.
It's just a comment as agent from the city, agent of record with regards to the insurance issue. I would recommend that make sure that the liability liability policy that pretty much stands is an occurrence-based, not a claims-based policy. Mm-hmm. Because the occurrence-based policy will protect you forever.
Sure.
The claims-based is just a policy. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Hart. John?
Yeah, and just a question. Would there be a way to do half a contract, half a time, to see how it works? I mean, rather than the whole 3 months, just a month and a half. Is that how it works?
I think you can negotiate. I mean, it's all subject to negotiation. I think that's a great idea as well.
Yeah, give it a try. Boy, we came up with more questions.
Well, I'd just like to say that I live in an area that they do all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's way more effective in the areas that they fog than it is not in the areas they fog. I live right on the river, yeah. And we have way fewer mosquitoes than any other part of La Pine does. And it's not an invasive thing. I've been there when they come by and fog. It's not going to knock you over with the fog. It's not going to be detrimental to you. I mean, they have to use, they are regulated by what they can use and how they use it. And they're very good at what they do. And, you know, some of the concerns, I think some of the concerns that you have are just way out of whack.
Well, thanks for that. Well, that's what we need is, you know, the first experience.
Can I get your name?
Mark Marisol.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so where do we want to go on this? How soon would they need for us to contract with them? You know how much? It's April.
Well, we do the month of May. We need this contract done. You know, we'll have to have that ready.
Do we have enough of our questions answered now to make a motion, you think, to go through with this, Jeremy?
It's City Council's call. I mean, you don't have to make a decision today.
Yeah.
Can I say one thing?
Sure.
I know you're really careful to get bids on most of the things you do, and I don't know if you've done that, and I don't know, apparently you have references on Terminex, but I know that the people that do it on Riverview, it's really good results, so I know you get bid multiple bids on most things, and so I'm just suggesting that you might want to consider that.
Do you want to check before on that?
Yeah, that was the Sun River area.
Yeah.
Well, I guess
the vector control.
It's the vector control.
He will not go any further than the tax base that's paying for his services, and he can't. That's what I was told.
So that's the only one.
I had called Kinsler last year. I had called him back this year, and he was working for Terminex. Mm-hmm.
So that's
about all there is. So okay. If somebody else has another one, I'll gladly.
Don't surprise me. I don't know Terminex, and I know these other people, so it's too bad they can't go out of the area.
That's what your subdivision uses, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Maybe what we need is the council wants to do this, correct? Oh, okay. Maybe what we need is consensus to gather more information, get our questions answered, and take a look at what a contract would be, look at maybe doing just the half of the season and the full season if we can get that option, and bring back options to us, okay, those two different options of river and proposed contract that we've in a form that we could vote on.
Okay.
Council comes up with any other brilliant ideas or questions or thoughts, email them in to Juana. All right.
And then we've got the dust abatement.
Right, we still have the dust abatement portion of this one. And we haven't really had any lengthy discussion on dust abatement yet, have we? It's come up a couple of times.
Yep. This estimate that you have in your packet was from 2008, so I'm sure it's very outdated at this point. I got another estimate from another company. It will cost approximately $60,000 to $70,000.
You know, I
max.
Okay. Well,
and that will wipe out most of our street fund. And my recommendation is, we could probably hire a water truck cheaper and have it run roads once a week. That's just my thought.
Okay, well, go down the line here. Councilor Ward, your thoughts.
Well, I live all over these gravel roads, so I'm very well aware of the dust. But for anywhere from $49,000 to $65,000, wow, that's a little bit way out of our class. Particularly, we're only going to dust of the total number of roads in the town. We're only going to treat 8 miles of roads out of 31, and then the people that live over here on the asphalt roads are going to pay for my gravel road, pay for me, which is very nice. But I don't really think it's all together fair, to tell you the truth. I just think it's for what we're going to do, it's way too much money.
Russell McAfee, any comments?
So where did the request come from the dust abatement? Luana?
It came up last summer, and it was something that we needed to look at as far as budgeting. I tried to get a grant to cover it, and they wouldn't do it.
So we had a lot of complaints last year about the dust?
Some.
Okay.
We're always going to get complaints. Okay.
So our gravel probably will take care of most of that, right?
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Well, no.
No.
It says no. Because it's got dust blowing in it.
The upcoming work, the near-term upcoming work that we have on the gravel roads won't, because that's just pulling up the existing gravel and it's going to mix with the dirt. But
right.
As time goes by and we get more gravel on the roads, that will help.
Okay, it seems, I don't think we can...
When I moved, I knew I lived on a gravel dirt road. And unfortunately, I don't like the dust any more than anybody else. But I'm, quite frankly, not willing to spend $60,000 to eliminate the dust for 10% of the population. I don't think it's fair. And besides that, it's way too darn much money.
Good point.
And we are going to have the roads done. We are going to do gravel and grading, but that will not solve the dust problem. It's just one of those things like mosquitoes. I have a terrible time with mosquitoes. There's something we have to live with. So, unfortunately, we're stuck with dirt.
Thank you, Councilor Hedges.
Well, I even have to dust my bathroom on asphalt roads. It's there, even down the highway. So I don't think that it's a good idea.
Councilor Brenner.
I hate to say this, but I had my car washed today in Bend, and before I got home, it was dusty.
Please don't be driving too fast down my road, okay?
I wasn't on any gravel.
Well, I'm going to echo the same sentiments. It's we live in a dust bowl here, and some roads are paved, some aren't, and the councilor had just said she's an area where things are paved and dust your furniture, and it's just right back there anyway. We have dust in our air, and like Councilor Ward said, we didn't say exactly this, but the dust was there before the people moved in. And when they bought that property and moved in on those gravel roads, they knew it was there. And I just don't, there's only so much that you can combat Mother Nature and control her. And I think this is one of these ways that we don't need to be trying. And it's real dusty around my place, but I'm the only one who fixed that anyway because I'm on 5 acres of private property, so. But anyway, I'm not moving. I know it's dusty and I'm not moving. So is that council consensus then that dust abatement is just not something we're going to be doing?
Okay.
Yes.
All right. And number nine, I guess. No citizen comments on that. All right. Yeah. Okay. Next item, number 10, adoption of resolution 2010-06. Resolution creating the City of Lapine Utilities Committee. And we have discussed this at our last meeting. We asked for revisions. And Jeremy, did you want to?
I can highlight the revisions. Sure. You requested three revisions. Revision number one in the first paragraph of section one. At the very bottom of that paragraph, you'll note that the City Council now has the ability to appoint an individual to the committee that may not meet one of the identified membership classifications. Revision number two is the grandfather provision. That is contained in the paragraph immediately below the first paragraph or the second paragraph. And the third revision is in section four, and I included use of the term extinguishment and put in a parenthetical by annexation.
Okay.
Other than that, there were no other changes made to the document.
Okay, well.
Well, technically the date has changed in the back.
Okay, is that consistent with everyone's memory of the changes that we discussed?
No.
Okay.
Let's discuss the word extinguishment. So what is the difference between just saying extinguishment and then having that by annexation? What is the difference if you would have just left that out, or why was it put in?
Bear with me. Because that's how the special districts are actually withdrawn, or in this case, extinguished, is by annexation. An extinguishment only occurs if we annex the entire area of the districts.
Okay.
And so...
You mean if any area that is outside of the city limits?
Well, in this case it would be yes, since right. We've got a little piece of our pie outside the city limits.
Uh-huh.
So if in fact we annex that piece that is outside our current city limits, it would be extinguished by annexation.
All right.
So it's one of explanation. The parenthetical is included there for explanation purposes.
Okay, but it doesn't change the meaning because there's only one.
Not even remotely.
Okay. Yeah. And then what I remember was that weren't we going to put in the resolution some verbiage about the that the committee would have the authority to explore grant opportunities like from RCAC and then the Business Oregon?
I don't recall that specific request, but that language is already in there as far as the pursuit of the funding opportunities, I thought. Yeah, it's actually
okay, so
important.
Then that would take care of it then?
Sure.
Okay.
It's very broad, intentionally. Locate and identify utilities-related grant opportunities.
Okay. I didn't see that. I'm sorry, where is that?
But that was in there initially. It's not an addition or a revision.
It's the 4D.
Did you see it?
4D. Okay. Okay, thank you.
Okay, you're all clear on all of that? Any other council discussion, questions, concerns?
I don't get it.
No questions on my part, thank you.
No questions.
So, Governor, we do have Ted Schiller. signed up. Is Ted here?
I'm here.
You are here. Mm-hmm. You're so quiet, I didn't even notice you.
I have no additional comments. I just signed up there in case there were some questions or something that came up.
All right. Thank you.
Yes. I had a question in regards to insurance issues. I believe that one of the things that this committee is going to be doing is investigating the potential cost to the city by taking over the current water and sewer districts. And part of that issue would be the cost of insurance, et cetera, you know, that would be added to the city's current policies if they took in those districts. And I'm just wondering, does that committee have the authority to, in the name of the council, to request that information from the current water and sewer district to avoid a lot of time-consuming delay in getting that information? Because, in order to get those numbers, we have to see those policies. And heretofore, that hasn't been brought to us, so I was just curious. As the agent, I was asked to, by the committee to come up with an estimate of the cost for this premium, and I have not been able to get documentation from the sewer and water district so that I can complete that task.
Have you attended the utilities committee meetings? Because that, I'm going to suggest that might be helpful, and then have the committee respond to that.
According to our last information, that information will be there tomorrow at the utilities
committee. Okay.
All right.
Wonderful. Okay.
Thank you.
Vicki. I just have a question, and I see that you have Councilor McAfee is a non-voting member, and I just want to make sure that she's okay with that. Because you work so hard.
Yeah, well, I'll be get a chance to vote as a council member on anything that comes. Yeah. And I'll have my say.
Okay. With that, I guess council is ready then to adopt this resolution. City Recorder, will you read the resolution by title, please?
Sure. City of Lapine Resolution Number 2010-06, a resolution creating the City of Lapine Utilities Committee, prescribing the committee's powers and duties, and establishing the committee's members' terms of office.
Thank you. I will entertain a motion to adopt City of Lapine Resolution Number 2010-06.
I shall move.
I will second.
Been moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Councilor Ward, yes.
Councilor McAfee, yes.
Councilor Hedges, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes.
Councilor Brander, yes.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Council. Okay. Item number 11, designate council member for multi-agency coordination. And this was something that came to us at the last meeting, and there was a question as to whether we even had anyone on this committee or as a representative on the multi-agency coordination committee, and if someone wants to be installed. It was handed to Councilor McAfee because you had expressed an interest in maybe being able to do that.
Right, and I still do have an interest in this, so I'd like to volunteer to be on this multi-agency coordination effort, and also would like permission to contact the fire district and see, kind of coordinate the effort, kind of see what they're doing, and kind of coordinate that effort with them.
Yeah, I don't know if that's something that would need specific permission or really.
I think she, Adele can make that communication.
Yeah, if you're, if we appoint you as a committee representative or member, then it seems it follows you would have that authority. That would be part of what you would do. So, any other questions or concerns, or are we all just happy that...
I think Councilor McAfee is the perfect person to be on this committee.
Oh, thank you.
I second that.
Councilor Hutchinson.
I agree, she's the perfect person to be.
I think anyone who steps forward with time and willingness is a good thing No, actually, Councilor McAfee has shown an ongoing interest in this sort of thing, so she is the right person for this. Councilor Greiner.
Look at me, I'm happy with the solution.
Okay. I like these easy ones like this. All right, then. I will... This is the, I've got to make sure I get the name of the committee right. Multi-agent.
MAC.
Multi-agency coordination committee. That's, okay. All right. I will entertain a motion to appoint Councilor McAfee as the representative. The City of Lapine representative on the Multi-Agency Coordination Committee.
I would so move.
I second.
It's been moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Councilor Ward, yes.
Councilor McAfee, yes.
Councilor Hedges, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes.
Councilor Brenner, yes.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Council. Next item, number 12, designate Council member for DEQ representation. Staff report says, Councilor Hedges requested this to come to the council for the purpose of having a city representative for the DEQ meetings. You're referring to the nitrate,
yes,
the so-called nitrate problem solution?
The one that they asked to have a representative.
Okay.
On the committee.
I would volunteer for that.
I think that you'd be a good person.
I think you would be the perfect person.
I'm stepping forward. Unfortunately, we don't know yet when their meetings are going to be held because they're still forming their committee, but
they have formed it in May, but I don't know what time. I think it's on their calendar.
Oh, okay.
I did get that as a DEQ meeting.
Oh, okay. So was it my understanding that they were going to save a place for a city representative on that committee? Because isn't it appointed by the state?
Well, DEQ will make the appointments. What they said was that they wanted representatives from various, any agency that was interested, and you know, then I think they expressed that they would especially like to have someone from the city. They want as much variety on the committee as they get, the broad representation of people who represent different parts of the community, so I think that's why they were looking for agencies, because agencies typically represent a subsection or so on. It was we were all at the meeting. It was actually a little bit unclear as to exactly what they were.
But I think from what I heard, there's a lot of volunteers. So I would definitely put notify somebody that someone's coming from the city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's a Thursday.
Pardon?
It's May 6th.
May 6th?
But I've got on there all day because I didn't know what time. Sorry.
Well, that's okay.
So that off. And that came from, I don't remember what his name was.
That's okay. I can go to the website and look it up. May 6th, first meeting. Now, I need to let the council know that my older brother, Leon, has applied to be on that committee as a citizen representative and as a person who's been involved in sewage disposal for 50 years. Do you see any conflict there or any duplication or any reason why I should not be on that committee?
I don't see any conflict of interest whatsoever.
Any duplication?
No, none whatsoever.
Well, I think that let the state determine whether there's a conflict, and then maybe we should appoint an alternative.
Okay.
Commissioner Shield?
Yes.
Maybe if we submit a name to them, they could make the appointment. Isn't that what we're talking about? You said the state was going to make the appointment, right?
All right. Yeah, that they'll determine whether or not there's a conflict. And then if there is, then we should maybe appoint an alternate.
Right. So I'm stepping forward. I will accept that, you know, I will be that representative if the DEQ is okay with that. Let me back up a little bit. I would really, really like for my brother to be on this committee, because he just has a wealth, he really has, he has a wealth of information. And so if it comes down to DEQ wanting to have one or the other of us, I think it would better serve the community to have my brother on the committee. So that said, there's a possibility that I will not be able to, depending on what DEQ wants. So, do we have someone who would be willing to be the alternate?
I would like to, because but this had more to do, it didn't have that much to do with the nitrates, it's just the environment and what's happening with the water. Right? That was my understanding, that it had to do with, everything to do with the water.
Contamination of
right,
water,
but,
yeah.
Not just nitrates.
Not just nitrates. Well, the DEQ actually was focusing on nitrates and only on nitrates before, and it's actually been with community outcry and input that they've expanded their look. And so, you know, this all came out of the nitrates issue, and I suspect that's probably what they're still looking most closely at, because that's what they're seeing as a big danger from septic systems. But yeah, they will be also looking at other contaminants in the water.
Okay.
So,
I can't see where there'd be a conflict, but
well, we'll be prepared just in case they name one. So, I don't even know if they've named this committee yet, have they?
I don't know. I got information from Arthur.
Not.
We haven't heard much from them since that meeting.
No, we haven't, and in fact, it was kind of hard to find out. Well, we should have. Most of us should have gotten a mailing asking us if we wanted to be a member of the committee, but I can't. Picture of my little card now. And remember, Vicki, do you know what they named that committee?
When he was saying DEQ steering committee.
That's what it is. Thank you. That's what it is. Thank you. Okay. I will entertain a motion to have have Mayor Shields apply with DEQ to be a member of the DEQ steering committee with Councilor Hedges as the alternate if DEQ sees a conflict with having Mayor Shields and her brother Leon both on the committee.
I so move.
I second.
It's It's been moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Councilor Ward, yes.
Councilor McAfee, yes.
Councilor Hedges, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes.
Councilor Brander, yes.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. All right. Next item, number 13. See, I checked off, running ahead of myself again. Range Rider presentation with Roger Jordan. For a discussion of interim part-time management administrator position, and I understand you were going to update us, walk us through what the process is going to be.
Correct. As you know, we spent the last couple of days interviewing not only the council and the mayor, but staff and then other people in the community about the need for a method of getting someone who could become a city administrator manager for the community. It was clear our recommendation was, and I think consensus was, that we seek a part-time interim manager that would serve between 6 and 9 months, and that we help the council in that process. There are a list of managers who have been seasoned professionals that is available through the League of Oregon Cities. And make sure I clarify, while I was previously up as the range rider for city managers for this area, Bob Wells, as you know, and I now serve as a contract for the League of Oregon Cities. So you're really being assisted as consultants from the League of Oregon Cities. We're very excited about helping your community. I think it was truly, again, consensus on the part of the council to move ahead in recruiting and developing a method of getting a city manager, city administrator. The title really isn't as important, but as I went through, I became clear that it probably is less important now. And first, I recommended city administrator. Bob and I had talked about that because there's really not a large staff to manage, and generally city managers have large staff. We were both city managers because I had a staff of a couple 300 and Bob had a lot more. Position, I think, is that's less important. We're going to go back with the information we garnished and draft a job description proposal for the council, for the mayor and council, and say, we really think, first of all, the first conclusion is, from our part, again, representing the league and professional managers, there's clearly a need for a professional manager. The council identified that. Everybody else identified it, and I think it would be a real positive thing for the community. Second is, in the process, that we believe that the best approach would be to attempt to hire a part-time interim manager that could come in with the skills and abilities and background to do some things right away. And in that case, the interim manager, Bob and I came up with four criteria for them, and we'll send that to you in our report and our recommendation. The first being, and I think you've already heard these, but for the record, we'll respond to the record. First is the manager needs to be responsible for the operation of City Hall. That's the administrative officer of the city. That means personnel policies, procedures, office policies and procedures, service deliveries, and including building a close partnership with the city attorney, city recorder, and others who run the city, but being responsible. The second would be to build that partnership with the council that we've all talked about, and to assist you in doing your job as mayor and council. And Bob and I have long history in city management, and that was our role. We were advisors to the council in matters of policy. You should have that too. We helped the council work through issues, and particularly we were a spokesperson for the council often. And that kind of professional person, I think, would lend itself well and be of great assistance in Lapine. That person could also assist with community relations. And every community that has a city administrator, city manager, but particularly manager, one of your roles becomes a liaison to other intergovernmental relation issues. You've got a sewer and water district, you've got a fire district, you've got a county, you've got state, you've got all these DEQ relationships. You know, that's important. In addition to that, you have community relationships, not only with the citizens, but with the business community and others, and any interim manager that we would seek and you would hopefully hire would have to have that. So a trained professional, by using an interim manager trained professional, if we can find that on a part-time basis, would give you the ability to have that and move it, the agenda, not 6 months, 9 months down the road, but 30, 60 days down the road. And then finally, if that person, which is again modeled all over the state of Oregon, and I suggested and shared with many of you, Bob and I have seen this every place, so we're not inventing something new. That person would be able to put that together for the community, be the professional staff, be the partner of the council, be the spokesperson for the community to the extent the council wants that. And needs it, and be a partner with the business community and others. The last thing we see an interim manager being able to do is assist you in really where we believe you're going to get to, which is hiring a position at City Hall called city manager, city administrator, whatever you come up with, and we'll work through that detail, but be the professional staff for the city. You've got a lot of really critical issues. I mean, we've got the issue of utility takeover. We've got one issue after another in a new city. And that person could then be the partner with the existing staff, particularly with the city attorney and the mayor and the council, in getting forward the things that you're there. One of the key points that they will do is help you focus on priorities and finish things you have to finish before you move on to the next. So one of the things we did was seek that consensus in not only amongst the council, but in representatives that have asked that. We feel very comfortable being on behalf of the League of Oregon Cities saying this is replicated all over the state, the council manager plan that we're purporting to suggest to you. We think there's professional people out there that will come. You have a wonderful area. The remuneration that the council is willing to pay, which is up to $5,000 a month in a contract approach, and is a good salary, we believe, for a person that would fill in. The question has come up, okay, what if we don't find the right person in that respect? I think we extended our recommendation. We still think you need to get a city manager. We might use a different approach. We might get a full-time manager and restructure things quicker, but we believe that by getting an interim manager and spending the next 6 to 9 months to get through those issues with a seasoned professional, that you'll find somebody. Your new manager should focus on long-term. And that's the greatest thing about a professional position like city manager, is that person can help the community, the council, the business community, citizens, all that, focus on a vision and a future. And, you know, Bob, of course, being city manager of Salem, with a community of 200,000, had, you know, that job. But I came from a smaller community. I managed both Sandy and Dallas. And I came from Corvallis, so I'm aware that every city manager, that's a responsibility. The one thing we're going to do is give you characteristics that will be important, and that is Lapine isn't Salem. Lapine's not even Dallas with the 200-some employees. Now they have a lot less, but it is an important community and, again, replicated all over the state. So we'll have to make sure that the people that we get understand they actually do the work. Because we're not talking about somebody here that can come to Lapine and delegate like some of our colleagues in city management. I've got one of those. I've got a staff like that. I got four or five. That's the characteristic we're going to look. Not only the same personality, the same ability to get along with people, but we need somebody that can roll up their sleeves and actually pencil numbers because in a smaller community, you may be it. And we know that there are successful people who have retired. That's the group, not necessarily the only group. There are other people that have taken time off who want that kind of job or just frankly in the interim, and we believe they're there. If they're not, we'll work with you to take a different approach in terms of maybe we move quicker to a full-time manager and support that system through the League of Oregon Cities and something else. So we're very excited. We're talking about the process. We're looking at possibly getting through this, putting the advertisement in locally. Again, because it's an interim position and because it's an immediate need and because the skills that we're looking for are people that have been successful in that arena, we build this list at the League of Oregon Cities and you can use them on an interim basis. When we go to the full-time permanent manager, then we should really advertise on a broad scale and make sure we get all the available applicants, but that's going to take 6 to 9 months, so we have more of immediate need. So we would suggest we use the list or anybody else who's in the area or sees that saying, hey, I could do that. The next process is finish the job description, finish the characteristics of who we're looking for. I just kind of went over those a little bit, but we'll send that out to the council. If you see that those are good, we'll be talking to you about setting up people that would be qualified for this sometime the first or second week of May. Again, tell us if the week is okay, because we're going to have to see just who's available in the market. What we do is we see how many people have already talked to Bob and I about, hey, I'd be interested in that. But we have this qualified list. We'll get other people. We'll say who's qualified. Then we'll come to the council and say, who do you want to interview? And these are four people that appear to have that skill. And then we'll set up interviews, and then we'll be here to assist you in your process of an interim appointment. Again, this is a quick hit. This is a way of doing this quickly versus when we really get to the full-time manager. And the fourth criteria, of course, of this interim manager is to help you get there and then help make sure that we get a long-term manager. The difference between an interim manager, again, is quick. Somebody in an interim is going to have to know what they're doing, be able to move in and take care of things really quickly. We focus on those skills and abilities. And a long-term manager, a permanent manager for this community, I would say you'd want to talk to them about serving at least 3 to 5 years. Come in, help us 2 to 5 years, 3 to 5 years, help us carry out this vision. And that's professional management for cities that there's a group. There's not a lack of the former. And we've got to find the right person in the area. And it might be that we face some housing issues where they say, I need some support. So what we propose is we advertise it and have them bring in proposals for, if you're interested in this position, what would it take for you to be here? To do anything more than that, we would be looking again long-term, 6 to 9 months down the road. Based on our recommendation, we think the council needs to move faster than that. So we're very excited. After all the interviews, I think there's a consensus in your community, a positive feeling that this will be of benefit to your community. We're excited. We're professional managers trying to encourage councils and communities to adopt professional management and use the skills and abilities that they have. And not every community needs it, and not everyone is faced with the challenges you are. But there is no question, in our opinion, after reviewing with the staff, the city attorney, the mayor, and the council, and the community, you've got some really important issues to face the next couple of 3 years, and to have a professional manager assist you is a very important thing. With that, Mayor, I would answer any questions, or Bob will answer any questions you have.
All right, we'll go right down the line. Councilor Warden, thank you.
One comment and three questions.
Okay.
I 100% agree with everything you just said.
Okay.
I think this is exactly and precisely what we need and probably for a 6 month start period. But then that brings me to three questions. You indicate that you can have all the information that we need to make a decision sometime early May.
That's our hope, again, based on the application process, only because there's a defined list of people that say, I'm qualified, the league has that list. If we're council is willing to use that process plus open it and not go out to Idaho and California, then yes, we can move quick.
My basic question is, all the information that we need from you, pay scale, qualifications, job description, and all that, you should be able to have that back to us in May. That,
yes.
Okay. Number two, is it fair to assume that we could have someone in place by July 1st?
Yes.
And number three, if we do this for 6 months, what happens at the end of 6 months if we've decided to hire a full-time manager? What happens if at the end of that 6 months we haven't found anybody that is worthy or acceptable? Can this person be extended?
Yes.
Or do we have to put that in, like in a contract?
Most interim managers, many have served two or three interim managers in a row, where they went out for a position, didn't find exactly who they wanted, or they felt that they were moving in the right direction, so they asked them, halftime's fine, it worked out, we're going to continue. There's a will of mine in the community that's had the interim manager halftime for the last 4 years, and I think every 6 months, maybe they're on a year schedule now, but they're getting to the point where they said, we need a full-time person now. And that person also does Jervis. So, yes, oftentimes, you run into, if you have a full-time interim manager, you run into anybody who has retired under PERS, can't work that many hours, and so they say, I just can't work for you anymore. So we'll have to be cautious in terms of that. One of the reasons we're suggesting in the interim, we don't know your budget well enough to be able to suggest, let's go hire and by using a half-time person, we know there's a cadre of people out there available if they, you know, if they choose to apply. Again, if they don't, there is no question that there are people out there that want good manager jobs. This is a good labor market to be there. 3 years ago, my role, when we retired, Bob and I went into business, but one of the roles I had to play was securing applications because there just wasn't enough. But we're not faced with that now. There's a good cadre of people that want to get into the profession or in it. So in answer to your question, all three, I think we'll do fine. If we don't, we have a plan B.
Good. Thank you very much.
Right, Councilor McAfee.
Keith, now you talked a little bit about the possibility of not being able to fill this position with that part-time list, and then you would go to the full-time.
Right. Well, I think what we do, we sit down with the council and say, here's our options. But what we're saying is, we are proposing something that's somewhat unique. Other communities have done it, but most of the time, city administrator, city manager positions are full-time. And there are a number of people that's their living and they live off of that. But there's a number of people that want to work part-time, that have a really good skill level and have managed communities, well, like Bob and I. Now, we're not available for that. I kind of like this council member who said, you read everything I said. I was kind of hoping he'd get elected in Dallas. what we're saying, we're just taking that in the context so people don't see, okay, we didn't get exactly what we want, you know, we're done. Well, no, I'm just saying there is option A, option B, and option C. Our belief is there are people out there that are part-time, want this job, and would do a great job for you as an interim manager on a part-time basis. If that list doesn't turn out with somebody that's acceptable to you, the option B is, well, let's go ahead and look at it. We'll come back and talk to you about the alternative would be to get a full-time manager and to do it as quick as hand and come up with a support mechanism for the city. But we're only saying that, you know, as a caveat, just in case.
Okay, so can you expand on that support mechanism? Okay. That's what my question was.
Okay. Well, one of the things I think, you know, we have the ability to do is what we're doing here.
Uh-huh.
Initially, we proposed a contract to the council, and where Bob and I, as consultants through the League of Oregon Cities, would do more of the work, identify work programs, mm-hmm. identify, you know, times, and work with the council to set up some of the office practices and stuff. The council, understandably so, and certainly supported by Bob and I, said, okay, you said, well, why don't we just go ahead and move to the interim city manager rather than hire you to tell us you need one when we're already there. So we're coming in as your consultant now saying, okay, you're already there. What we want to do is you already need a city manager. How can we get it with the process? But an alternative, if we didn't have one right away, would be to ask the league to be supportive and do some of the other work that we had initially proposed under the contract.
Okay.
That's an alternative. I don't want to focus right. on the negative, because that's not what city managers get paid for. But we're always internally in the paper about, hey, this didn't work out. What are you going to do now? So my wife always says we work towards and identify the worst case scenario, and then we work up from there. So we always know what we're going to do in communities. Because as city managers, we feel like we're your agents in emergencies. I mean, it's everything. So in this case, it's a very, very important. And we hope the council and the community focuses together on this goal, which is let's hire, find good leadership that is professionally trained in operation of a city. And I think that will be beneficial not only for the council, the mayor, the community, but the staff. And that's what the League of Oregon Cities is sending us out to do.
Any other questions? Councilor Hedges?
I don't have any questions. I'm just very pleased with your plan and how you've approached this, and I'm really anxious to get started with it. So.
Councilor Brenner?
I, too, am happy with what's going on right now, and I think it's something we need to do. Personally, my personal feeling is that we need to have somebody that's really experienced to get us up and going right now. I mean, if we get somebody in that's really experienced on a part-time basis to get us pointed in the right direction, then we can concentrate on getting a full-time manager. And one of the things that I think that we as counselors need to do is let's just stop everything that we had on the plate. Stop it. Don't do any more. Let's get the city manager done first. Once we get that city manager in place, the person is going to guide us. He can expedite moving on with all of the other issues that we have. So we need that professional touch, in my opinion. Thank you.
Yes, I too am very pleased. I'm beginning to get a sense of relief here that we're going to have some pressure taken off before long. We have a lot of work for a person with managerial experience to do. When would be, okay, you'll be working in the meantime here to put together the proposed job description and such. When would be the next time you would be back here?
Would be the
council.
First or second week in May, and with your permission, we'd like to have the permission to work with Jeremy to handle the legal stuff. For instance, if we look at someone and they say they want a contract, the city attorney's got to be the one that actually drafts the contract. We're not at the league, nor attorneys. So we would like to have the permission to work with Jeremy, and we've already sat down and visited with him, asked him lots of questions. We have a good working relationship. So with that, that's what we'd like to be able to do is work the legal questions about contracts, and he's got that background, and the league's got models for your city. You should be represented by your city attorney for that. He would then get your approval, of course. We're just talking about the staff.
Okay. Okay.
And clarify, we're not selecting a city manager for you. What we're doing is getting available candidates and giving you our professional assessment. The candidates will come in and you'll make a choice. And the city attorney will then execute a legal agreement with them that would protect the community, the council, and obviously set the standards. So that's what we're doing is the staff work.
Okay, so how do you see, you'll have a list of candidates for us. How do you see the selection, the actual selection process is coming?
Well, normally what we do is we get three or four of the best candidates available and agree to that, and then set up interviews. Council interviews them. We assist in that interview process, and we already have the criteria by which we're going to judge them. You've set that in the last couple of days, and we're going to draft it up. So we're going to say, does this person meet that? Actually, there's in city management, city administration, city management, there's different characteristics. And while I was very successful in a community that I was in, there was a high profile lot going on, I would not be a good maintenance manager. And I would not be on a council that said we don't have anything going on. So we got to pick the style and the fit for this community at this time. And frankly, 3 years from now or 5 years from now, it might be a different style. Mm-hmm. If the economy goes down and nothing's happening, you need a good maintenance person who's running numbers and taking care of the office. If you look at what you've got, is really developing Rapine for the future. You've got a visionary. You've got to have somebody that can do some of the daily stuff, but also join with the community and you in creating the vision and then setting that in motion. And there's going to be some real controversy, obviously, in dealing with the new community issues. And in our community where I came from, Bob's, you know, growth was a big issue in the valley. And I mean, you got to have a strong leader in order to stay at council meetings and be taking arrows in the heart all the time. But that's what we've got to do, is identify the characteristics and find somebody that matches that. And then you've got to make a choice.
It sounds to me like you have a real good handle on what type of person it is that we're looking for.
Right. I think we gained that in the last couple of days and the last three or four months that we've been working with you.
Okay.
So what we're going to do finally would be give you a call, go through Luana and talk to you and say, okay, here, we're ready. Now let's set up interviews. And it may be May 13th, it may be May 20th. Whatever the date we can all agree to, but it's premature at this point in time to set that date in our opinion until we find out where we're at with the interim manager list and who is interested. And we'll be contacting those people on your behalf.
Okay. Let's check my list here. Dan, you were signed up to talk on this one. Or did you just do that just in case?
No, I just wanted to say it's so cool how far we've come in the last 6 months, and I appreciate the wisdom of the council to bring a couple of guys like Roger and Bobby in to help facilitate this, and we've made a lot of progress. You guys have made a lot of progress.
I think so.
I think come to a really good place, and so I just really appreciate that.
Well, thank you. We appreciate hearing that. So, Council, we understand or agree that Roger and Bob will be working with Jeremy in the next steps and report back to us when they're ready.
Good.
Yes, that's it. All right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Wonderful.
One more thank you. To all parties, and I want you to know that this process has, and I can speak for the Chamber of Commerce Board of Directors and that group. This process has all of our support. We're excited about it. If we can be of any service. And up to it, including making sure that any comments and discussion that occurs during a pop visit by a press member of the press from the bulletin is couched in a positive way, because we want this to be successful just as much as you do. We all have a vested interest in this community being successful, and we want to be a part of that success. So thank you.
And thank you. Appreciate hearing that. All right. Did you have any follow-up comments or anything? Okay. Beautiful. We are moving on. Moving right along. Okay. So, Jeremy, did you have any comments or suggestions?
No, I'm excited.
That? Me too. I think this is great. Okay, we had one added agenda item under item number 14. That's 14A, the approval of the terms for TRT committee members, and that was just handed out to us tonight. Who's the best person to explain this?
Art.
Who is? There you go, Art.
You know, I developed, you know, in Alaska, tourism committee. By the way, I think we would like to have the council consider officially renaming the committee from tourism committee to TRT committee. It eliminates the confusion. But having said that, in our last meeting, the discussion came up with regard to terms and who was going off, and you know, and there was still a great deal of confusion. God help Luana, she was trying to resurrect information that was, you know, difficult. It kind of got off to the wrong start with terms when we initially formed the committee. So I've sent a draft out to the committee requesting some input. Robin came through with this actual idea, and I thought it was great. So I'm going to defer to Robin. But essentially, it's basically patterned after your desire to, for all the committees to be comprised of 7 members. I believe that was the council wanting to move the meeting on form after that. We adopted this idea so that there would be 2-year terms. So there was overlap of the 2 years within the committee. But rather than the term starting and stopping date being the fiscal year, because of the nature of the way the TRT committee works, we thought it made more sense to do it in January 1, because we actually do our work between February 1st and June 31st, mm-hmm. and the rest of the year is not much happening. Yeah. So it wouldn't make sense to start a new person in July at the fiscal year and have nothing to do until the following February. So it just seemed to work best. Did I characterize that?
Yeah, absolutely. Because one of the things that I know that a lot of the committees have had problems with is drawing people to the committees, and nothing is more demotivating for a servant than to be appointed to do something and then have to sit there and do nothing for 6 months. If you're going to bring somebody on board, bring them on board, make them feel useful, give them their job description, and wind them up and let them go, you have a much happier, more committed volunteer. And so that was kind of what we had fleshed out in that. The other thing was that there had been discussion about making it a 3-year term. I know personally that I probably would not have signed up for that position if I had thought it was a 3-year term, just simply because that's an awfully long commitment for a volunteer. And I think you would have more continuity with people staying if they know that they've only got 24 months to serve as opposed to 36 months. And so I think for retention reasons, for recruitment and retention reasons, you're better off to go with those 2 suggestions, with the 24-month term, with it starting in January.
And the committee's pretty much through its growing pains as far as kind of understanding what it is to be a TRT committee.
Yeah.
We all started out, okay, that's great, we're a TRT committee. What in the heck does that mean? Well, I think we understand now what that is.
And I want to say here, I know you guys have done a lot of research. You really got into finding out what you need to do, and you guys have done an excellent job. And
well,
very much appreciated.
Quite honestly, we wouldn't be nearly as successful if it wasn't for the help of the council, because you guys have trusted us to apply, you know, and you've listened to our recommendations, and what else can we ask? I mean, that's ultimately what it's about. So, having said that, we think that this serves the needs of the city as well as the desire to serve much better in a more concise manner. So that's all.
Okay, Councilor Ward, any comments?
Mr. Uecker, what is your time frame for putting out, getting the applications for the transient room tax money, and when will you bring those recommendations to the council?
Well, clearly, all the current applicants that we're reviewing, those have to be approved previous to the June 30th end of the fiscal year, because those funds that they're working with them on are for fiscal year 2010-11. Having said that, we only have one or two more to deal with as far as actually talking to those applicants. My personal goal would be to have our first recommendation on your desks for review no later than the end of May, because that would give you part of June to review it. If you came back to us with questions for revision or clarification, we have time, so we're not running up against that June 30th deadline. Typically, we request applicants have their applications into the city on March 1st. That gives us that 3 to 4 month time frame to work through it. And so far, that seemed to work pretty well. This year, we're kind of ahead of the curve because there's been some consolidation of some of the applicants, and we think that's going to work really well. So, I think, our crystal ball is broke just as all of yours is. So who knows? But we really believe that revenue from TRT funds is going to be stable and maybe even increase, because I think people are staying closer to home given the longevity of this economic issue. So having said that, again, who knows? But when we get we'll have a recommendation in front of you as soon as possible.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Uecker.
You're welcome, Mr. Ward.
Councilor McAfee.
No questions, I think, but just a comment that, really appreciate your services. You guys done such a great job.
Thank you. No comments for me. Councilor Garner.
Looks good to me.
Okay. I have one question. Was this actually I don't have a problem with it or anything, I just don't remember it. Was this actually a council consensus that we wanted to have all of our committee sizes at 7, all of our membership?
I don't think that's ever formally been a decision that has been made.
Mm-hmm.
But there is something to be said. We have discussed the idea of trying to keep the committee terms, if you will,
mm-hmm.
Consistent. And I know that some of our committees are seven member committees. This one here is a 5-member committee, the TRT committee.
Right.
By resolution, correct.
By resolution.
So we would need to amend that resolution to permit a 7-member committee.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're also proposing a 2-year term, is that right?
Correct.
And so we need to amend the resolution to provide for a 2-year term rather than a 3-year term?
Well, I certainly like the idea of being consistent.
Sure, I agree.
Our committees.
I agree.
It's always life easier. Mm-hmm. Especially you.
Yeah. One set of rules for committees. As long as I can always apply. Changing the name to TRT committee. We definitely.
Definitely need to do that.
Yeah. Tourism committee denotes a whole different thing.
Well, the confusion was that there were folks had wondering, assuming that we were
promoting tourism
in the city, and that's
exactly
clearly not what we do.
Exactly.
My recollection was that we went with a 5-member committee because we were concerned about having enough people serve on that committee.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Clearly, that's not a concern at this point.
Well, I don't know. Again, the reason we stated, our recommendation was for 7 because it was indicated to us that the city council had indicated they wanted to, to have
standards.
And since the other ones had 7, I guess we made the erroneous assumption that 7 was the number.
Yeah, and that discussion happened when we were forming the utility committee.
Correct.
And that was, that's what we were moving for, was consistency in all
Yep.
And so what's going to be the criteria for the two additional wings?
I don't know. We'll have to come up with one.
I think
it should be just... The question is, is that a problem? Is it not a problem now, or is it...
Okay. Well, what we could do, quite frankly, is amend and restate this resolution in its entirety and simply have a resolution that is nearly identical to the Transportation Committee and the Utilities Committee, mm-hmm. except obviously change the scope of the committee's duties. I mean, if we want to streamline this and have, again, consistent committee, not necessarily composition, but again, terms and conditions, that wouldn't be terribly difficult at all.
Well, it does seem like it would simplify things to somebody use the word standardized. We can all...
That way, if you have someone coming to you saying, I'd like to serve on the committee, you don't have to think or try to remember which committee does what. You know that every committee has seven members. You know what the length of term is and what each committee does, and I think that makes your job to recruit committee members much easier.
Yeah, I think we all see the value in that, as long as we can fill seven positions on each committee.
Yeah. Well, that's my concern.
Yeah.
Filling the position.
Because that has not always been easy, so...
The Planning Commission, we have five.
Yeah.
Right.
Because we couldn't get seven, and now we're still only at four. Now we're having trouble getting additional.
So we may want to standardize at
five.
So we're going back to the same problem that we always have.
Technically, the Planning Commission is not a committee.
Correct.
That's true. That's a commission. Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, my question was, now, are all the other committees at three-year terms or two-year terms?
Take a look.
Because I mean, personally, as a volunteer in the community, a three-year term can be demotivating to step up to the plate, because those of us who are very responsible will not take on a three-year commitment for fear that they would have to back out in 2 years, as opposed to, you know, those who are more responsible and want to follow through on their commitment are more likely to say, okay, I can do 2 years, I can commit to that, and I'll stand on that and follow it all the way through.
Yeah. Okay. Jeremy.
I was just going to say, the Transportation Committee identifies a two-year term, which means that the Utilities Committee would be a two-year term as well.
Okay.
And you know, from even another practical standpoint, I would be much, it would be much easier for me to recruit somebody for a two-year term. Mm-hmm. If I'm excited about that, I'd say, yeah, well, you know, it's a three-year term, but we really need somebody.
That's not a good sales pitch.
Yeah.
So the other issue, though, was the term being from January to January versus...
Yeah, right.
And that was another issue that you
needed
to change.
I don't know that that's
I can
run
and see what we're doing with these other ones.
I don't know that we would necessarily have to standardize that, because you might...
TRT committee.
Yeah, yeah, our situation is, I think, unique enough for that, you know, the fiscal year cycle just doesn't work.
Right.
Planning Commission is
The Transportation Advisory Committee, as well as the Utilities, is simply stated, terms commencing January 1st and ending December 31st.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
That's
those
calendar.
Okay, so it sounds like the calendar year is going to be a usual, and then, like I say, we have a unique situation with...
The calendar year was perfect for us.
Yeah.
It was the fiscal year.
Oh, it was a fiscal year.
It was the fiscal year.
Yeah, okay.
So it followed perfectly within those other two committees' guidelines.
Yeah.
This is easier than a lot, isn't it?
Okay. Yeah. Wow.
What it's a first. Yeah.
Okay. So, we have two things going on here. We need to amend and restate this resolution for adoption to reflect oh my gosh, what are we changing?
Changing the name of the chair to chair.
The name of the committee.
Seven member.
And seven establishing the number of members.
2-year term.
And 2-year terms.
By calendar year.
And a calendar year. Thank you. And that, you know, thank you, that'll clean this up, I think, for a lot of things for us.
Well, don't thank me if they brought it, because I, that was my first draft was totally different and screwed up. She didn't want to put this thing together.
Well, let's thank the committee. Okay. Any idea when you can have that?
Within the next two to four weeks tops. I mean, my suspicion is we could probably get it in front of the city council at the next city council meeting. No, either the 28th or the first meeting in May.
Okay.
We're not still doing what we're doing anyway, so.
Yeah, you know what you're doing.
It just establishes it.
Thank you again.
And see, if we had a manager, that person would just be taking care of all this stuff for us and bring it to council for approval. Or for suggested approval, I guess. Okay. So we know where we're going on that. Thank you, council and committee members, and Jeremy and Luana. Okay, you're going to address this in your comments, Luana? Or do you want me to do that? Doesn't matter, just an FYI.
It's on the staff report, too. It doesn't matter.
Pretty much.
Anybody got any questions?
Takes care of itself, okay. We'll move on to public comments for items not on the agenda.
There's a U.S. Congressman named Greg Walden that's going to be in town Saturday morning, and he asked me, his office asked me to extend an invitation to our city officials to join us for a coffee at the John C. Johnson Building at 8:30 this coming Saturday morning.
Where is that going to be?
The John C. Johnson Building. Not just officials, but everybody in the community, too, would like to join in. Just like give an update on what's been happening at the Capitol, and also find out what our issues are here that he might be able to have some influence and assistance for us with. So it'd be nice to have, you know, some people turn up in the community and kind of share some thoughts with him and hear what he has to say.
How come you gave us so much notice?
Well, is that not enough notice? Probably because I've been busy. I've known about it for about 4 days, and just now had the opportunity to get out here. So, I wanted to thank you also for sponsoring the town hall meeting we had this last week. I thought it was real good and a good opportunity to communicate and have an opportunity for the community to come out and chat. One thing that came up at that meeting was this neighborhood naming contest. We have flyers out here. And I was just curious, and there's members of the planning commission here too, are there plans to actually engage the people within the city to get involved with this? Is there any reach, outreach, mailings, or anything like that? My estimation is there's about 100 people in the city limits that want to get engaged in the city. And this is a good opportunity to get them engaged. And I don't know if they're on purpose, anybody's getting out there and actually...
That's the whole idea.
...going to houses or whatever. It isn't going to happen.
We've been posting the those around.
Just at the stores and things?
Yeah.
It was in the bulletin also.
Okay. Yeah. We're going to put a large poster up at the schools, and we're going to have some ads that should be coming out next week.
Well, that'll probably help. I thought maybe a neighborhood drive or something like that would help, because there's so many of these people working band.
Would you like to have that out?
I would help. So many people work in band, they live in band, they go to church in band, and we need them to get engaged and know what's happening here in town, and I don't know that they can go to these stores sometimes.
We have a $200 budget on this? So there's not a whole lot. So if we can get volunteers to...
We could get those printed down at Robin's store, mm-hmm. and
get quite a few of them and get them handed out. And I think that was a big part of the plan was just, you know, saturation and fire.
Good, good.
And,
well, that here, I didn't know if there was a plan for that, so that's really awesome. So.
I think we're going to put one of the larger posters there, but I don't know for sure where we could put that, so they may not let us.
It's a high school, isn't it?
Yeah, I believe Deborah was going to contact the schools.
There's a flyer. Is that within the time frame of when your newsletter goes out?
This goes out on the 17th.
And when does your newsletter go out?
It goes out on the 1st.
So,
but this that doesn't get the hands of too many of the right people. It does some of them.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get the people in the city rooms because they're the ones that can name.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so. Because of that, it's kind of, you know, it's restrictive. But I think it's a great tool to engage the people in the city. Mm-hmm.
So if
we can print the newsletter. We'd be happy to do that. Mm-hmm.
So if we print up a bunch of flyers, will you put them door to door?
We'll announce it.
We'll do some. We'll get some volunteers to help.
Get some volunteers that sure would do that?
Sure.
That would be great.
We'll announce it on the radio Thursday or Friday morning.
Oh, good. Perfect.
Mm-hmm. Great. Okay. I think Deborah McMahon said she was, the Bulletin's going to do a human interest story on that. On the
content.
The
newsletter yesterday.
Okay. One of the great posters is at Little Deschutes Lodge, and it's been announced at the Senior Center.
Oh, good. Excellent.
Because they're right in the middle, and they've got time to think.
Those first posters, there's an error on Deborah's email address, and it doesn't have our P.O. box on it. So we may have to call them and put some scratching on it.
Yeah, replacing them.
Okay. Well, are you volunteering the chamber then to do that, to get some volunteers to
streets
and hand out?
I'm pretty sure we could do that before the state. I'm not sure, you know, exactly how soon.
Mm-hmm.
We've got lots of things that we're doing, but I'm pretty sure it's important enough. I think we can do that.
Well,
that'll
be
good.
Okay.
Like I said, the project has a $200 budget, but Luana also has some discretionary budget.
It wouldn't take long to do it.
Yeah.
So
I'm sure we could put on as many flyers as we need.
And actually, we're in that budget. We just only asked for the $200 to start with.
Oh, no.
Because it has to do with our community outreach.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we have some there.
Okay, thank you.
So
would it be possible to hand those out to like the kids at the grade school and the high school for them to take home?
Yeah, but we need to target the people who are within the city.
Well,
a bunch of them do live.
Yeah, but a lot of kids live in the city, so
right.
I mean, that'd be a way that, I mean, if they could be handed out at school, if they could be given out.
If you get it to the target audience, that would be great.
So
it
shouldn't
get
them on the bus.
Okay.
And just one more thing, Wendy and I were both had the opportunity to attend the Governor's Tourism Conference that we happened to be in Central Oregon, so it was easy for us this last 3 days. And Wendy volunteered up there and was actually a hands-on person helping out a lot, as well as learning a lot of tricks of the trade of tourism.
Yeah,
so
they let me in free because I was a volunteer.
Yeah.
Scholarship based on application I submitted.
Well, there was a lot of opportunities to learn things about how to effectively tourism your home, your town as a destination, and lots of stuff that was way over our head, like Tweaky and Twitter and
that's interesting.
Yeah. Wendy has volunteered to do some training for us in this community so we can get comfortable with Facebooking and tweeting and all that stuff. And so she's going to make that available to us to get into that realm of things. So.
Okay, well, she has the means to get the word out. So, all right.
We'll put together a couple of business workshops for people that are members of the chamber and that are not.
Yeah.
And we'll go over a plan of.
Okay.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah. That's great. All right. Did you have anything else, Dan?
No, I'm done.
Okay.
Thank you.
And this is You're welcome. Any other public comment or items not on the agenda?
Excuse me. My name is Justin Cutler. I'm the director for the Little Pine Parks District. And Barbara Hedges is actually serving on the committee for the White School Building complex remodel and redesign and update. And I just wanted to offer to the council, you know, we're looking at various ways to finance the construction of this facility, and we're looking at a couple phases, and there is going to be some flexible space that could be used as office space for a variety of uses, possibly for the city, possibly for Central Oregon Community College or COIC. So we're looking at different ways to help bring together community partners to make this happen and to build a great community asset. So just wanted to throw that out there. We're curious and looking for ways to work together with different partners in the community. So.
Okay. Now, is this in your phase one?
It would be in phase one or phase two. Or it phase depends two. On what yeah. how the financing works out and just how many partners we get to the table and how much money we have within that pot. Mm-hmm. Then we'll dictate how much of that building we build out for a phase one, if you will.
Because I had suggested to Tony, like maybe that's part of what he had passed on to you to get that information to Luana. I told him that she grabbed that like a dog on a bone because she's real interested in the future of where our city is going to be housed, and Luana's great at, you know, the partnering
great
thing too. So our office worked with your office.
Yeah.
And just always make
yeah,
sure
that
yeah, start coming up with a plan and don't miss any opportunities. Maybe we can get a good partnership going. And
yeah, in the first place your office was held was at the Johnson & Johnson.
Yeah.
I had a question. Given the really great news with regards to the city manager pursuit, I would like to, and forgive me for throwing this at you, Dan, but I would like to I'd like to invite someone, preferably you, Mayor Shields, or one of the council members, to come to our breakfast, which is Friday morning. And, because as you well know, and you've all experienced, correct and concise information is the key to happiness, and the other and the opposite is not. And, coming from yourself and or a member of the council, I think it would be a great asset to you in this process to announce this officially to the business community. That there are usually 70 folks there, and so that we're all on board. I really encourage you to consider that someone from the council.
Well, we do have council members who attend the
right.
Shape, yeah.
Right.
So that would be. As you know, I don't do breakfast meetings. That's the most critical time for me to be at my own business.
I want you to be.
You have to be there.
I will go to the chamber, but I want everybody on board on precisely what you would like me to say.
Yes.
Okay,
people, we need to stay on track here. Jeremy, any suggestions for what? Just a brief public announcement would be for where we're going with the mayor or
City manager.
I think Roger should prepare that public announcement.
When is the date? That
Friday
morning. Friday morning, 7:30.
If somebody gives me an email, I can send it to Luana or somebody. Give me an email, and we'll put together a little paragraph tomorrow and make sure you have it. That's Friday morning. That means tomorrow we'll get it to you in an email.
Thank you.
We don't want anything to come back and bite us like announcements that then 2 weeks later things have changed and it's nothing like what the announcement was.
Sure.
Oh,
sure.
We know you can handle that.
Sure.
All right.
We want to remember the announcement was made. It was correct.
Yeah, that's a shame. Number 16, committee reports. We'll start with council. Any committee report?
The Whitney meeting yesterday was canceled and rescheduled for next Tuesday. So I have nothing to report until next meeting.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, if I can, no, I don't have to, never mind.
Now, this is committee reports, not council comments.
So what are you looking at me for?
Well, because I remember you're on my...
I'm ahead of the game and you don't have to ask me.
Oh, I...
Sorry, I'm completely confused.
I contributed to that. Do we have any committee members who have a report for us? There, that's how I should have done it the first time, no committee reports. Okay, we will move on to staff comments. Luana?
I have a request. I'd like to see if I can seek out a volunteer to help me fix our flagstaff. Because it's kind of...
Jim's already sitting up here. We won't get him. Jim, what?
What are you thinking?
It came that way.
But it's getting, take it somewhere, it's getting brittle and...
Okay.
And I don't know what...
I'll take care of it.
He's volunteered. Thank you.
That's all I have to say.
Penny?
No, I don't have anything.
Jeremy?
Nothing.
Good scenario, Jim.
All right.
I hear you, Jim.
Council comments. You know, commenting?
Oh, is it my turn?
No, I guess I'll also comment.
The Whitney committee yesterday was canceled.
No comments.
No comments. Well, I have one comment. I think this has been a great meeting. It's been very productive. Councilor Bryant.
I'm happy with the way things are going. I can see us really moving ahead.
Me too. All right. With that, I will call for a motion for adjournment.
I so moved.
I'll second it.
The minute and second, roll call vote, please.
Councilor
Mackey, yes.
Councilor Hitchens.
Mayor Sheehan, yes.
Councilor Brannan, yes.
Motion passes. We are adjourned at 8:27.
I mean, after all.